gentlemen and disappointments. We are coming to you live from the Woman Caves in New York and Connecticut. My name is Leslie.
And my name is Melissa.
And we are Verbally Disastrous. Hello, everyone. This is your host, Leslie, of the Verbally Disastrous podcast that can be found on over 20 platforms for podcasts as well as YouTube. For this episode, I'm going to share with you some adventures that I had with an apprentice that went by the name of Lucky on the job. When you hear his description of what was going on with him, then you would understand why someone came up with that nickname, Lucky. I had heard recently he was on a job site and someone used the term Lucky and he wanted to go outside and fight him. It would have been interesting to see how that would have turned out. Anyhow, when a person works with the tools on various types of projects that require a second set of hands, having a good partner is vital. It is not easy finding a good partner. In the trades, we are randomly teamed up with different types of people who just happen to be on the job. It is a great partnership when we watch each other and predict each other's moves. When you find a great partner to work with, a project flows seamlessly. My favorite partnership has to be with another woman named Tiffany in the business. Prior to this experience, I was rather fearful of being teamed up with another woman. This is especially true if she was a bad worker. At the time, I felt like I had too much to prove. However, this great experience with Tiffany shifted my mindset. This project was back when I was either a third or fourth year apprentice, and Tiffany was a relatively new journey woman. Tiffany and I didn't even have to speak with each other. We watched each other and worked together on opposing sides to accomplish the task. We worked on a door control security project back in the day around 1998, maybe it was 1997, it was somewhere around that time frame, with just the two of us and a foreman. I remember learning a lot on that project while working with Tiffany. Tiffany faced some harassment while on the job with men over the years, and it made her uncomfortable. Meanwhile, I learned how to use humor on the job and get through things that would have normally when I first started in the business as being uncomfortable. But over time, I just learned how to make it humorous. I'm probably not the good person to be on a job and gauge how inappropriate someone is acting, because I've always taken things and made it humorous. Tiffany and I, we completed that project in such a short amount of time with less manpower than what was estimated at the time. You know, it's a shame the boss did not capitalize on our chemistry and find even more projects for both of us to work on. I want to say, off the top of my head, they were initially saying that there was going to be 8 journey people and it was going to take 6 to 9 months to work on it. Just she and I worked on it and we got it done in 3 months. It was his loss for not taking advantage of that chemistry back at that time. Instead of acknowledging our smashed goal for the shop, other workers in the shop called us, quote, Team Bush, as soon as they heard about our success. We were at a Christmas party, and when we walked in, some people were like, oh, here comes Team Bush. It was like their backhanded way of, one guy in particular, it was his backhanded way of giving us a compliment, because there's no such thing with a lot of people of issuing out compliments. They just don't happen, so they're usually laced with some form of humor. But I'll take it, and she'll take it nonetheless, because we did really well. We both received good girl letters from the CEO of that company for our work and doing it in short time. Overall, it was a great look for both Tiffany and I. I still have my attaboy letter up in the attic, or shall I say attagirl letter. We still keep in contact with each other to this day. I brought up that old story to share a laugh with Tiffany a few months ago I absolutely cherish that great working experience that I had with her. Then you have the bad partners that can drag the entire project down. You feel like a slowly sinking ship when you work with a really bad partner. Any form of efficiency can be lost with another person who is literally no manual dexterity and two left feet. One of the worst partners for every single person in the entire shop was this guy who earned the nickname Lucky. The only good thing going on for Lucky was that he was a kind soul. It was hard to stay mad at him when he did stupid stuff because he was so nice. Yes, I realize that when you cross paths with an apprentice, you have an obligation to teach them as a journey person. You have to exercise patience and be willing to show the right way of accomplishing a task. You also have to try to prevent them from getting hurt. I try to take that responsibility very seriously. Every once in a while, you meet a person that is just not cut out for construction. The icing on the cake is when you feel like you're constantly picking up the dude's slack and you have to hear him complain. It's like, fuck me. You're really going to come in here half-assed and I have to pick up your slack and then you're going to bitch and moan about the job? Oh, let me tell you. He was complaining at any chance he got that these conditions were not what he first envisioned when he got into the program. Now, nothing is worse to me than a hot, humid, and dirty environment. It's not my favorite thing. It's not something that I enjoy. However, there is nothing I can do about it, and I don't want to focus on it. Focusing on the misery just makes it even more miserable. I would rather work in a cold environment any day of the week. There is a saying in the trades that the heat is in the tools. This means that when you're moving, you're not cold. Yes. This is very true, and your hard hat works to warm you up in the winter time, which works out great. As long as you keep moving, you are good. However, in the heat, you can't strip down, and the hard hat serves as a lid of a pressure cooker on top of your dome. I have always made the best out of bad situations by using humor and sarcasm. I would joke around with the most inappropriate jokes while in the rain in a muddy trench. When you are laughing while working, you're not thinking about the shitty conditions around you. I would be on jobs where the crew expected me to complain. I would joke that the guys acting like Marys on the job sure as hell beat me to it. I have nothing more to add to the pile of misery. I worked in this business outside in the cold while pregnant. Now try to beat that nonsense. I was never so cold in my entire life than when I worked in the winter while pregnant. Now that, my friends, was a challenge that was accomplished as far along as possible. I stayed as long as I could. Truth be told, way more men bitch and moan on the job than I ever did in my entire career. It is way more fun to come up with dirty back and forth banter than soak in absolute misery. To hear someone just complain about their surroundings is irritating to me. It's like nails on a damn chalkboard for me. Sprinkle in an absolutely worthless apprentice and you create a nuclear bomb. I was stuck working with Lucky on a project where we were running black segmented Con Ed pipe from the manhole to the future transformer pad and then into the electrical closet for the building. We had to work in a trench to get them from point A to point B. Technically, it's point A to point B to point C to point D, but I won't bore you with those kind of details. On the other hand, I was excited to be the lead journeywoman on that project. I was feeling myself by that point. On the other hand, I was pissed about having the worst apprentice in the entire program on my project. It was frustrating that I had such pressure to perform with this guy as my apprentice. In light of those circumstances, I opted to try to make the best of it and not throw in the towel. Because God knows when the next time I would get another opportunity to be the leader. The tightrope walk was getting Lucky to work efficiently without hurting himself. By this point, You must be wondering, what is the problem with Lucky? You may even be thinking that I'm picking on him. I would absolutely love for people to learn, thrive, and succeed. I worked with apprentices much later on in my career for about 8 years through our apprentice education system. You may ask, why is he such a problem apprentice on the job? Well, it was discovered that Lucky had been in the business for almost 5 years when I met him. Lucky had achieved 4 workers' compensation cases by this point in time. How can you possibly get hurt this much on a job in such a short amount of time? When Lucky first approached me, he walked in with a limp and had one functional eye. Apparently, one leg is about an inch shorter than the other leg since birth. The missing eye totally screws up your depth perception. I remember having a blood vessel burst in my eye years after this encounter with Lucky. It was a huge challenge to use a knife and splice wires or perform other tasks while I was working with one eye. I was very happy when it finally absorbed back into my system and I was able to see out of the eye again. I know my depth perception was jacked up for a while, and I'm glad. I don't think I would want to stay and work with the tools if I always had one eye. There's no way. I wouldn't want to do that. I would have went and found something else to do. He should have been disqualified during the apprentice entry physical, since he was not even physically fit for duty. One must ask, what is the point of the physical exam if they accept you anyway? This man would end up killing himself on the job and take out other people along the way. Let's not forget the electrical contractors who pay hefty regular sums of money for insurance on the project. To make matters even worse, he also shared that he had a bad ear, so he had a hard time hearing too. Whoever vetted this guy to place him in the apprentice program has a sick sense of humor. Just when you think you have heard it all, the man geographically lived over an hour away and chose to take mass transit. Therefore, he was late every damn day to the job site as a result of taking mass transit. The worst part was that he shared that he had a luxury car. He didn't want to put the miles on it for work. He determined that it was cheaper to not drive. I even had to go pick him up from a location a few times. He opted to put other people out of their way and burn their personal gas to go get him. He chose to not plan his route and be late regularly instead of using his own car to get back and forth to work on time. I absolutely could not make up this idiot. Real life is stranger than fiction. I would have never gotten away with this shit when I was an apprentice. It wasn't long into working with Lucky when I decided to approach my general foreman, William, about him. William happened to come on site to bring material and to check in with me. William juggled other projects, so he came around in the van from time to time when we needed him. I asked William if he had another spot for Lucky. I explained that this was necessary since he wasn't cut out for this type of work in a trench. After all, I was fearful of the man getting hurt in the trench under my watch. William sarcastically responded, "Well, Leslie, sometimes we all pick straws and someone gets the shortest straw. It looks like you got the shortest straw. Try to not beat him up. I don't want to have to do that paperwork." Like, really? Come on. Although I felt defeated and exhausted practically working alone, I sucked it up and went back to work. My frustration with Lucky was building each and every day. I remember being on break with Lucky in the job van on a hot and humid day in the summer. I was super curious as to what pushed Lucky into construction. After all, he was bitching about how hot it was and how sticky and dirty he felt at that moment. It was at that moment when I decided to just go in for the kill and ask him. I just blurted out, "What made you decide to come into this business?" I then found out that prior to becoming an apprentice, Lucky worked with numbers in the finance realm. Lucky learned about our health benefits and pension plan. I then proceeded to probe even further. "What good is it when you risk getting killed on the job?" He was gazing at me with his good eye. and trying to be more cautious with his words, since he could hear frustration in my voice. He explained that where he was working before, he didn't have all of the great benefits for his family. I believe, by this point, I checked myself on my frustration. If the union doesn't care, and the contractor doesn't care, then why the hell is it bothering me so much? I dialed it back and asked in a softer tone, "At what point did you decide to apply for the apprenticeship?" Lucky went on to explain to me about how he saw a brochure with a guy in a plaid long-sleeve shirt, denim jeans, tool belt, and a clean yellow hard hat. He saw that the man was very clean and professional-looking while standing next to an electrical panel. He then goes on to say that being in a hot, humid, dusty, dirty ditch is not what he envisioned for himself at all. I asked him if he really thought he could work in construction and not get dirty. In his mind, he set himself up for failure with these illusions of grandeur. I explained that the conditions are harsh, but you must make the best of it. I tried to leave lunch and head back to the ditch for the afternoon with a renewed sense of patience. I then tried to teach him how to add the rubber couplings onto the black Con Ed pipe. These couplings reminded me of a clear green rubber pencil holder that children used back in grade school. They were somewhat of a challenge to get onto the Con Ed pipe. We learned that we needed to use Dawn dish soap and water in a squirt bottle. I had to make many gallons of this concoction for multiple conduits that we ran in the trench. I showed Lucky how to squirt on the soapy water and use the sledgehammer with a short piece of 2x4 on the end of the coupling to get it on one side of the coupling. I was showing Lucky how to get a good swing in and tap the coupling on until the coupling was on the conduit. I then showed him how to measure and score the outside of the conduit gently with a knife so that he could check to ensure that the long piece of conduit was fully into the coupling. Now that I took the time to show him, it was Lucky's turn to work on the conduit run. Now that I was done demonstrating exactly what to do step by step, I handed him the sledgehammer and soapy water bottle for him to try it on his own. This is the moment where he applied what I took time to walk him through step by step. After swinging a few times and missing the conduit repeatedly, the sledgehammer went wildly into the air past the coupling and conduit. He was swinging so wildly toward the end, I think he was trying to go for his skull. He even struck his ankle a few times in between air swings. This caused him to limp around even more than before. By this point, Lucky was getting frustrated and had beads of sweat that were dripping off the bridge of his nose into the trench. Eventually, I got so fed up with standing on the sidelines watching this display of time being sucked away while accomplishing absolutely nothing. I couldn't help myself when I screamed at him, "Get out of the trench! I'll do it my damn self!" I believe, Lucky responded with a, "I'm sorry, Miss Leslie, for making you so angry." In a weird way, I felt bad for raising my voice on this fool. If he would have had an attitude, I am sure we would have been fighting in the damn trench. It would have been such a sight for spectators walking by. Instead, he killed me with kindness. Now, mind you, as a woman on the job, I felt like if I didn't make progress, it would appear that I didn't have any leadership skills. Trying to get this dude to work faster and more efficiently was like herding kittens. It felt like an impossible task at that moment. I ended up spending the rest of the afternoon angrily trying to make up for the lost time. Meanwhile, he's on the side of the trench staring at me like a deer in headlights. I didn't even want this moron to speak to me for the rest of the day. He wasn't going to leave early either. I was working on behalf of both of us, and it was really pissing me off. I said to that dude to do something on the side of the trench. Go pick up garbage and remove tools that I was no longer using. Do something useful. I shouldn't have to hold your damn hand on everything either. I didn't allow him to leave a little early to catch his regular train either. I didn't give a damn if he was going to have to stand at the train stop all damn night. He needed to stay until the end of the day and do something. Look busy. Hold a broom. Anything but stand on the side of the trench looking stupid. I would not let him drive the shop van either. The last thing I wanted was for him to crash into the side of the brand new building. The shop van was a stick shift and was a little tricky sometimes to get it started after sitting idle for a period of time. I felt like Lucky was totally incapable of pretty much anything. Later on during this project, I had asked him to prep up some 1900 boxes, and he knocked out the wrong holes. There is nothing worse than a brand new splice box that requires knockout buttons for holes that were not used. At each stage of the process, I always walked away frustrated after struggling way more than necessary. When I was adding the 5-inch rigid elbows to the black Con Ed conduit, I was telling Lucky to firmly hold it at various angles while I worked the other end. I drove in metal stakes and was laying out the multiple conduits in an effort to prep before the concrete pad was poured. Each conduit needed to come out of the ground perfectly level. I was not walking away from that task without it being perfect. I would ask Lucky to move to the right. He would do the exact opposite. I almost felt like I had to say the opposite of what I wanted in order to get him to do the right damn thing. Mind you, each 5-inch rigid conduit 90-degree elbow weighed about 70 pounds apiece. I have never felt so alone and frustrated in my entire life on a project. I called up my coworker and close friend Donnie to share with him about the events of the past week. At the very least, I got to laugh about the day's events with a guy I consider my brother. Donnie is now retired, and I'm happy to say that he's enjoying his pension. We both worked together for the same shop for quite a few years. Donnie worked as a high-voltage splicer who worked in manholes for many years. I often worked as his above-ground gal when he was in the manholes. He taught me how to make splices and work on many different power distribution projects. We ended up having to go to another project where we installed temporary power for a brand new large complex that was being built up in Port Chester. We had to bring Lucky with us for the work that we needed to do. We had to install the conduits, temporary electrical panel, disconnect, trough, and the wire that was needed on this temporary power project. This installation required penetrating the metal equipment via creating some holes for the conduits to enter the equipment. Once installed, we pulled the wire and spliced the connections. A hole saw is a round circular blade with teeth with a pilot bit right in the center. So imagine a circle and then you have the pilot bit like dead in the center. So the pilot bit, you're drilling through the metal until you reach through, and then that's when the hole saw teeth meet the metal, and then you're able to cut a nice hole, whatever hole that you want. You gotta get your hole saw according to the size that you're looking for. Now, the fender washer will serve as a barrier and spin around once the teeth touch the metal after the pilot bit has fully penetrated the metal. This helps to avoid digging the teeth into the metal and possibly breaking the teeth on the hole saw, or possibly breaking your wrist or losing control of the drill. Lucky didn't bother with the fender washer practice despite being advised, and kept full pressure on the drill. This was even after the pilot bit poked through the metal. You could hear him using the drill at full speed and pressure for a period of time. Now, you have to be careful and take the pressure off the drill to avoid catching the teeth of the hole saw onto the metal. Lucky learned this the hard way. I managed to turn around right when Lucky penetrated the hole saw's pilot bit into the box. The hole saw's teeth caught the metal, and the force of the drill caused both the box and the drill to spin wildly together in a clockwise motion until they both stopped. Lucky dropped everything in the response. It was a good thing that he did it quickly, or he would have gone on a ride of pain. He lost control of both the box and the drill. He waited for it to stop. He could have broken his wrist in that process. He looked rather apprehensive at his screw-up and the fact that I caught him in the act. I heartily giggled and looked over at him and said, "Well, you won't do that again." He shrugged his shoulders and attempted to go back to what he was doing. I directed him to go get a new pilot bit since he was struggling with the worn-out bit and was putting too much pressure on it. I also told him to use a fender washer so it would catch the teeth and not take him on a ride. I felt like I had to either micromanage Lucky's work or remove, fix, and replace what he installed. During my apprentice era, I remember the old concrete drills that would take you for a ride if you managed to cross paths with some rebar. The apprentice used to have to hold the extension cords and be quick on pulling it apart when the drill caught up on something. You had to position the drill between a ladder and yourself to keep from getting totally beat up by the drill. I once got my finger caught up on the trigger of a spinning drill while trying to drill through a concrete wall while up on a 10-foot ladder. As a first-year apprentice, of course. I got off the ladder and screamed in agony, pain, and frustration. I was lucky that it didn't cause me to fall off the ladder. A corded drill has way more power and torque to hurt you versus a cordless drill. Thankfully, today's drills have clutches to stop the drill and keep bad stuff like that from not happening so much. Now that the conduit and equipment was installed, it was time to pull the wire. When you are pulling in wire, there are multiple pulling points. It requires a tremendous amount of teamwork to accomplish a wire pull. You must get in where you fit in and jump into different roles to get the job done. Then you have Lucky, who is either trying to do the least as physically possible or absolutely clueless with reading the room and doing what must be done as a team member. I was initially working on the reels by pulling the wire off the reels and feeding the wires into a trough. Lucky was on a different pulling point, and this part was a challenge for the entire wire pull. Prior to this, I had never seen anyone that felt like they were standing next to the wire reels and only just holding them. Fucking guy. At some point, Donnie got so frustrated with Lucky that he yelled for me to change positions with him. I jumped into action and practically ran up the ladder to feed the wire to the rest of the team. Hopefully, he took cues that he was about as useless as tits on a bull. Despite having an ongoing feeling of being annoyed with Lucky, we still tried to make the best of the situation. Later on, Lucky went with Donnie to work on some splicing for some high voltage connections. Donnie was in the process of using compression connectors and the high press machine that is used to crimp the connectors. He had Lucky work the high press machine to stop and start it since he was not trusted to attempt to work on the prep of the connectors. Apparently, during the process of starting and stopping the high press, Lucky's eyes and ears were not working well enough at all. Lucky started smashing Donnie's finger in the high press. Obviously, this incident was not okay at all. Donnie reported that he was having to resort to screaming at the top of his lungs in order to get Lucky to stop the high press. Lucky goes on to apologize for not paying attention to Donnie's cues. Once that happened, Donnie no longer wanted to give any more chances to Lucky. Lucky was no longer Lucky and had been running through many chances. As time went on, more apprentice horror stories of Lucky came out of the woodwork. There was not a single person in the shop who didn't have a bad story about him. It has been said that while Lucky was working for that shop, he fell off a ladder on another job site and filed his fifth workers' compensation claim. He literally filed a claim for each year he was in the business. Think about how clumsy you have to be in order to average a claim each year of your employment. I'm sure that there are some people who believe that I should feel sorry for a guy with two left feet trying to put himself in a world where he doesn't truly belong. I have been a woman in this business for about 8 to 10 years by the time I met Lucky. As of now, I've passed the 25-year mark. When I first got in the business, few people would even speak with me. I had to prove myself and bust my ass as a woman to stick around in shops for multiple years, which is impressive for a woman. Meanwhile, this guy put in no effort, and he expected to have the red carpet pulled out for him despite his consistent half-assed behavior. That is absolute bullshit and highly unfair treatment. It is guys like him that give a bad name to groups and organizations who attempt to give him a pass for his behavior. I told both of my sons if they want to come into this electrical business, they need to come in and give 110% or just find something else. You can't come in with half-ass efforts while everyone else is giving 110%. A person should be a team player and not let the other team members down. We all have issues going on during our walks of life. However, we cannot allow these issues to prevent us from being team players on the job site. The goal in construction is to go home the same way you came in the morning. The older I get, the more I see the value in that mantra. I've encountered other apprentices and journeymen with either drug or alcohol problems over the years. As I've shared before, you felt like an oddball if you were not drinking with the gang on the regular. That was back in the 90s when I first started. I had also previously shared before the story of another guy. He was nicknamed Dirty Sanchez, who we had to babysit on the job. We found out that Dirty was smoking weed that was laced with angel dust. As much as we tried looking out for him, he was his own worst enemy. He eventually got pinched by the foreman while envisioning butterflies coming out of a 5-gallon bucket of lube. Well, we tried, but as messed up as Dirty was on the job, he never managed to hurt himself or anyone else. Lucky was that guy, who was not on drugs that we knew of, where you felt he was incapable of doing anything without hurting himself or others. It is easy to cover for a journeyman when you're on a large project where there are many hands. The challenge skyrockets when you only have 2 journeymen on your team. The next time I ran into Lucky was about 5 years later on a big deck job in Stamford, Connecticut. I want to say it was around 2007, 2008. My partner and I used to come around and poke fun at a journeyman. He was nicknamed Big Cat, who was stuck working with Lucky as a fellow journeyman. Lucky was trying his best to bend pipe on that deck job. However, he had the biggest bone pile of distorted conduit in his workspace. That project had quite a few other misfits on the job as well. Word in the field is that Lucky still works with the tools to this day. I feel sorry for the contractor who is getting fleeced by having him on the job. My only concern is the possibility of my son crossing paths with Lucky on the job. The mama bear absolutely would come out if anything happened as a result of Lucky's carelessness. I'm keeping my fingers and toes crossed that that does not happen. Well, I hope you enjoyed this story of my adventures with Lucky. This wraps up this episode. If you would like more information, head over to my website at www.constructiontales.com. I thank you for listening and checking out this episode. I wish you a great day. Take care.
This wraps up another episode on the Verbally Disastrous podcast that can be found on Spotify, SoundCloud, and YouTube. For more information, head over to www.constructiontales.com. Thank you for listening, and have a great one.